Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Now, why are you here virtually in this church tonight? What has drawn you to your computers and your electronic devices to gather with other Christians on this Holy Thursday? I'm aware that these questions are abrupt, maybe even curt. But tonight is a heavy night. It's weighed down by sorrowful anticipation about the events that are soon to unfold. We know that tonight Jesus will agonize in the garden, overwhelmed by sadness and anguish. And while his apostles sleep, he will sweat drops of blood. And we know that a little while later, he will be arrested, and over the following hours, will be beaten, whipped almost to death, and then crucified. Yes, we can see Easter morning, but tonight, that seems very far off. We know why the apostles were gathered together on this night. They were simply doing what they had done year after year after year. This was a time of celebration. It was a time when they would remember their deliverance out of Egypt, when they would remember God's mercy on them. For them, this was more than just simply another holiday, void of meaning, originating outside of their culture. See, this festival was their culture. It was who they were. And that story extended backwards thousands of years before them, all the way back to Abraham. See, they were not simply celebrating an event, celebrating their emancipation. They were celebrating their identity as God's chosen people. They believed that they were still part of that story. And so their celebrations were just as much about the present as it was about the past. And so when they sat down to share a meal together, they sat down and shared a table with their fathers and their fathers' fathers and with all of the Israelites of old. See, this is what this night meant to them. But then Jesus did something completely unexpected. We read from our gospel passage, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." On that night, Jesus began to reveal the real meaning of the festival. He began to show the disciples that their freedom was not from the Egyptians, but from death and the devil. Later, he would make his way to the cross and engage in a battle with the forces of evil, and he would vanquish them. And then he would freely hand over his victory to all who would receive it. And later, the disciples, they would realize that the blood of the unblemished lamb that they ate that night was merely a temporary substitute for this precious blood of Christ. But tonight, he reaffirmed their connection to the prophets of the Old Testament and to the nation of Israel, God's chosen people. And tonight, he also connects us as well. He affirms our connection to the Old Testament and to the chosen people. You see, we became included in his number. No longer were the demarcations based on nationality. They were instead based on faith in Jesus Christ. On this night, the universal church was established, and his blood would be poured out for all who believe. Not just all Jews who believed. I'm reminded of a story about a homeless man who one cold evening entered a church because he heard the music playing and heard the choir singing. It was a Christmas Eve service, and so the pews were packed, filled from end to end with well-dressed families. And seeing no free seat, this man, who was unwashed, unshaven, unclean, continued up the center aisle until he reached the front. And there, at the foot of the pulpit, he sat. Now, the pastor continued to preach, but the congregation was clearly distracted by this man's actions and became even more distracted when they saw an elder slowly approach him. And upon reaching the man, the elder, very slowly, very quietly, sat down next to him so that he would not sit alone. You see, we are all invited through faith in Jesus Christ to gather around the table of the Lord. Christ denies no one, regardless of who they are or where they have come from. He gathers us just as we are, unclean from sin and broken from shame. And on that night around the table, Jesus gathered his disciples. And in the breaking of the bread and in the pouring of the wine, he gathers us too. We sit there with him at the table. And it may not seem like it, but when we eat his body and drink his blood, we share his table. A table that we also share with our fathers and with our fathers' fathers and with the disciples and all the way back to Abraham. Tonight, we gather as the church, disconnected by time, but connected by the need for forgiveness. And this is why we are here tonight. This is what has drawn us to gather with other Christians here in this virtual setting. It's to receive the forgiveness of sins, that same forgiveness of sins that was spoken by Jesus the night before he was crucified. And although we cannot physically gather together around his table tonight, we look forward to the day when we can once again gather to share that same body, his body, and that same blood, his blood that he gave to the disciples. And I know that I look forward to that day, and I'm sure you do too. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord Jesus Christ, we are sinners, unclean and unworthy. But you gather us to your table and offer us your body and your blood. You offer us your forgiveness. We come empty-handed and heavy-hearted, but we leave forgiven and free. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. In your name we pray. Amen.